Mike Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, actually, he's not here. He's live in the garden spots of the Tri-Cities. That beautiful place. Where
I'm
only someone like Rick Emerson could come from. Yes, Rick Emerson, how you doing?
Oh, how do you think I'm doing, man? Just one glorious moment after another here in Kennewick.
Just a big lump of coal.
Oh, God, it's just awful. Here's Kennewick in a nutshell for you. This is my life in a nutshell. For Christmas, Laura actually got me a palm, like an actual real palm, so I don't have to write things on my hand anymore. But, of course, I have it in Kennewick where there's not only nothing to schedule, but there's nothing to do, nothing to plan, nothing to write down.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You can always play the solitaire game. Did they give you the solitaire game with it?
I don't think so, because I have absolutely the cheapest, lowest grade palm you can possibly. I have it at Zire, which costs, you know, it's like $16 and a couple green stamps. That's how you get the Zire. So there's actually nothing on it at all. It's essentially an etch-a-sketch, but you know, you got to start somewhere.
You know, I really didn't appreciate that Christmas present you gave me.
Which was?
This horrible cold you gave me.
Oh, nope. Sorry about that. Well, why should we suffer alone? And now you're going to have that lingering cough goes on like 3, 4, 5 weeks that you're just never going to get rid of.
Thanks a lot.
This is because you were bragging about the heartiness of your immune system. So this is the universe's way. This is instant karma, my friend.
See, I did get my flu shot, so at least it kept it off for a while.
It's a bad scene, especially if you come, if you travel and you have to go anywhere like here, because you get, like, Kennewick's biggest export is, you know, ragweed, I think. And so as soon as we hit the city borders, Lara's face immediately starts, you get the drippy nasal sensation and your eyes get all red. And so you come here and not only is there ragweed everywhere, not only is this place just filled with sageweed, sagebrush and tumbleweeds and dust, but it seems like we've had to visit a few people while we're here, or we've gotten to visit a few people while we're here, and they all seem to have cats numbering in the dozens, especially Siamese cats, which, I don't know, there's some sort of weird Martian radioactive allergy glow that comes off them, so it's just one sneeze fest after another.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're sure it's not radiation poisoning there?
Well, that's entirely possible, too, and here's how you know you're in Kennewick. Where is it? I have a copy of the Tri-City Herald with me, which is the, what ostensibly is a newspaper here, and of course, it's like a drinking game where you drink every time you pick up the newspaper, and there's some story about a lawsuit against the state for giving somebody, you know, 700 tumors inside one of their femurs or something. Just one bad scene after another.
So that's what they're heralding in the Tri-Cities,
huh? Yeah, that's what it is. Hark the Herald lawsuit sing. That's what this place is all about. That, and there's a huge editorial, well, what passes for huge, there's an editorial talking about how there's a budget shortfall for the education and bemoaning the fact that the state constitution requires that we educate every child, and saying if we could just get rid of that, we'd have a handle on all our economic problems.
If we just didn't have to send these kids to school, we wouldn't have all these money problems.
Like, if they're in Kennewick, what are you sending them to school for? Everybody here ends up in a vocational center learning how to be a cosmetologist anyway, so.
Well, I'm not going to let you get too far. Before you introduce Tim Riley, you have to do one other thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to credit Michael Hacker.
This Dar the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Michael Hacker. Michael Hacker Photography, specializing in wedding photos with just a taste of class and elegance. And you can reach him at Michael Hacker Photography.
I don't know. They didn't post it up in here either, so.
Yeah, I have nothing.
Matt, Sarah.
I think you can also go to MichaelHacker.com.
Yeah, MichaelHacker.com. Rick keeps all of his own copies, so I can't give you the number first.
All right, let's try MichaelHacker.
I'm not taking your call today anyway. So it's MichaelHacker, Michael Hacker. .com, and everybody who thought that picture of Christina, Matt, and I on the webpage was really great, he took those along with several others, so he's a fine guy. So,
all right, enough already. His 10-second ad's gone over a minute.
All right, am I ready to throw it to Tim Riley now?
Take it away.
Excellent. Here is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Thanks for that, Laura Belch.
We see you haven't gotten rid of the cough yet, huh?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
No, there was no belching. I was clearing my throat.
Okay, that's.
I'm sorry. I'm on this sort of Radio Shack cordless phone, so it's not quite the Sterling technology you all are on at the station.
Well, this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Investigators have collected more than 300 tips in the search with a man charged with killing his pregnant wife and three young children. Still, no solid leads. Now, they're concentrating on Tacoma. That's where this fellow Morris has some relatives. Police looking for Morris's 1993 Dodge Caravan with the Oregon license plate WSH-171. Bumper stickers on the back say Luis Palau and Promise Keepers.
All the bumper stickers here just say, I-O, so off to work I go.
Hey, isn't that the Promise Keepers thing, Tim? Isn't that the thing where you're supposed to learn how to be the kind of man who takes extra care of his wife and his kids?
Yep,
and
that's what that is.
Obviously it didn't take with this guy.
It's extra care of your wife in the same sense that folks in the South took extra care of their cotton pickers back in the 1800s. I mean, that's the Promise Keepers had a huge convention in Salt Lake, of all places, which is strange because the Promise Keepers and the Mormon Church don't really cleave to one another. But they had a big gathering in a place called the Delta Center, which is where the jazz play in Salt Lake. And, man, it is just Hickville. It is just Goontown with those guys. I mean, they're just one or two steps removed from, you know, having their wives in burkas. So these are the guys who snap anyway.
Well, it was just a week ago that this family friend saw the Morrises.
The last time I saw them was at church, and they were excited about the baby coming, you know, and just looking forward to getting away. And there's no telltale signs, you know. That's why it's such a big shock for everybody. We just don't understand.
Why is it always a big shock to everybody except the rest of us? Because I don't think I think Tim registered an absolute lack of shock when this happened. This is like the fourth guy like this. This is the fourth guy from this demographic to do this.
Yep. Battling little kids and trouble keeping a job.
Yeah, and that he's headed to Tacoma. I mean, Sarah could probably tell you more about that than I can, but I mean, the fact that he's headed to Tacoma is just too perfect, because Tacoma is such a wonderful slice of humanity itself.
Tacoma's bad news.
Tacoma's Tacoma.
It's not like Bremerton isn't, but...
Oh, man, Tacoma's like the Oakland of the Northwest. It's just bad.
Well, let's take a look at the police blotter for Christmas. Separate residential fires killed two men, seriously injuring two young brothers on Christmas. They're among eight family members driven from their two-story Salem apartment at 2 o'clock in the morning when the building exploded into flames. One of them is burned over 65% of his body, his face, arms, chest, and legs. Will require painful skin grafts. Same for his other brother. Then another fire in Hillsboro. Two men from Guatemala died in a fire in the middle of their triplex. Nobody knows what their names are yet. But other than that, nothing really happened over the weekend.
Were these Christmas tree
triplex? I didn't even know there was such a thing. Is that like some new hideous invention?
It's a duplex sliced in half.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. It's like thirds, right? There's three of them.
I don't think I've ever seen those before. Hey, let me tell you this, though, while we're speaking about awful housing. You know, we all love to make fun of trailer parks. We all love to talk about the trailer-dwelling folks and how ridiculous they are. But really, in Portland, I mean, I don't actually think I could tell you where the nearest trailer park is in Portland, like an actual, real trailer park. I mean, I'm sure they're around, but I wouldn't know where they are. You normally have to go to Bend to see those kind of things. But you come, we were going to visit my mom. My mom was at work this morning, so we were going to visit my mom at work and to get some coffee. And we passed not one, not two, but three trailer parks just in the, like, four-minute commute to my mom's work and back. So,
well, there's trailer parks all over town, but
in,
you have to
in
look
the southern burbs.
You have to look very well. There's even in Portland, but you have to look very closely to see them. They're very good at hiding them.
Yeah, on Division, there's a bunch of them. I know. I saw a really good one a couple days ago.
It's a really good one. Somebody got to put a coffee.
It was huge. I've never seen it.
Somebody ought to do a coffee table book of just trailer homes. That would probably sell to the kids.
There is something out there. I saw one at Powell's.
It's just bad. There's always the. It's like you're in Little Italy or the Bronx or something. There's always those ratty clotheslines out there that got like the soiled baby blankets sort of flapping in the breeze and a lot of broken down big wheel toys from the kids.
Yeah.
Just a hideous, just a road to nowhere.
Sounds like Tim's neighborhood.
It is.
without Anna Song there in the police wagon, though.
Tim, your neighborhood's kind of like a trailer park without wheels, right?
You know, I'll tell you, my neighbors came out to greet me because they saw me drive home in the Mercedes the other day.
Were they greeting you with guns waving overhead?
I'm bringing the property values up by parking this on our street.
I'm sure the police are going to be greeting you one of these days and asking you how you paid for this car, son.
I know. It's incredible.
I mean, especially if the cops see you have an every. I mean, let's think about this. That every week for the last 4 weeks, you have had a different luxury car in St. John's. You never keep the car for too long. It doesn't have any distinguishing or identifying marks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have no visible means of support. I mean, that just screams crack dealer.
Right, and you say drug kingpin, you know?
Completely.
You know what else this car has that I didn't know it had, and why, I don't know. But you can either turn on the lights on the left side of the car or the right side. So I'm at a party, and so it's, well, the owner of the with the Mercedes who has the left side lights on, please come out. You can't do that. And sure enough, you can.
Yeah, I've never known. You know,
Why is that?
I had a Mercedes, and now don't everybody make fun. It was a $5,000 Mercedes many years ago, but that was a 72, and it did the same thing.
Why would you possibly want that feature?
I don't know. It must be something that they do in Germany. Do you have any idea, Matt? Because the light switch had a thing where you could turn all the lights on, and then you could turn only the lights on the left and only the lights on the right.
Well, maybe it's kind of like an airplane. You know how each different seat can have different lighting? So someone wants to read on the right or something.
Well, the heat was like that, but this is the outside lights.
This is exterior lights, not interior.
I thought they were interior.
So I think it has something to do with parking in Germany, but I don't know. So,
Rick Dimerson, that's entirely weird.
It's
like I've been saying for the longest time, the thing that they have in Europe that they have to have here, and I don't know if your Mercedes does this, but you know, your headlights should automatically go off when you turn the car off. I saw somebody jump in getting jumper cables for their car the other day, and your headlights, there's no reason your headlights ought to stay on when you turn the car off. They ought to go off automatically. That's the one place where the Europeans are way ahead of us.
I know it didn't happen to Navigator, because I went out to eat, and I came out, and I saw the speaker, like, who's the idiot who left his lights on? It was me.
Hey, why don't they do this? You, Bruce and Matt, you guys know about cars. Why don't cars come with two batteries? One to start the car, and then a small side battery, sort of a sidecar that's strapped to it so you can give yourself a jump start if you need it.
Well, I imagine that's probably just because it would be expensive.
Actually, you can buy those.
Really?
They're a little more than a normal battery, but they're a switchable battery that basically does that. There's a small little battery attached to the side of the main battery, mm-hmm. and it's just enough that if your battery's dead when you go to try to start your car, you flip a little switch up on top, and it selects the smaller battery, gives you enough to start the car, and then you flip it back, and it'll charge your main battery back up.
Excellent.
All right. Well, now, we don't have an answer to the battery question, but we do have Terry on the line from Portland who says he has an answer to the Mercedes question. Terry?
It's Perry.
Perry. Oh.
A lot of the small villages in Germany don't have street lights. So Mercedes hooked that up so when you turn it to either the left or the right, it's a low voltage circuit that just leaves that light on so that you don't get clipped by other cars going down the road.
Okay, because they don't have street lights.
Yeah, and you can leave it all over town,
just leave their lights on like that to light up the town?
They certainly do.
Oh, wow.
Well, all right then.
That's rather civic minded of them.
Well, fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you, Perry.
Perry's a good person. Okay, excellent.
So, I guess, you know, I didn't know where I was. I was at the Canby Denny's when that happened, so that parking lot was well lit.
Nothing screams Tim louder than taking a $60,000 Mercedes to a Denny's in Canby.
They had a great Christmas dinner there.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Anyway, you know what people are out doing today? They're shopping. It is a mob scene at the Jansen Beach, especially at Target today.
It's barely ended.
That's right. I start the day after Christmas, and I shop all year for Christmas.
A lot of bows, wrapping paper, some gifts for next year, and I got a quilt for myself. They have a lot of placemats. Oh, I got a tablecloth.
I don't even want to think about that, because you know what I get to do later today is I get to go. I didn't want to tell you the story, because this is right up there with the LeGrand story. Of ending up in LeGrand when I tried to come to Kennewick. But I was telling Bruce about this the other day that my mom has been talking about buying a TiVo, but you know, the only kind, they don't have the smaller ones anymore. They only have the 60 hour and the 80 hour, which is like way more than my mom needs. My mom doesn't, you know, first of all, she doesn't really, need 80 hours of television. Plus, it's just very pricey. And so, in addition to the other stuff we got her for Christmas, we got her some other gifts. And then Lauren, I thought, well, we have this TiVo kind of device that came with our DirecTV. We'll just give her our TiVo, because we don't need two of them, and we have the 14-hour TiVo. That's more than enough for my mom. So we bring the TiVo down here, and I'm so proud of myself, and I'm the best son ever, and I'm thinking this is the greatest present I'm ever going to give anybody. And I bring the TiVo in, and I hook the cables up on Christmas Eve, and I've got it all hooked up by the time she comes home. And of course, Bruce, you know this. I hooked all the cables up. I had the TV plugged into the TiVo. What did I forget to bring?
The remote.
I forgot to bring the remote.
And you can't do anything on a TiVo without the remote.
And you cannot do a damn thing. The front of it's not like a VCR. The front of a TiVo has the little IR, the remote receiver eye, and it has a red and a green light to tell you it's on. And that's it. You can't do a damn thing without the remote. And so the remote is 4 hours away, of course. So I have this TiVo that's essentially now just a paperweight. Does nothing. So that's hubris. That's what hubris gets you.
Well, you might need to bring it back anyway. I might want to buy it off you. I think mine may be going on the fritz.
Oh, really?
That's the worst thing that can happen to a TiVo owner. Can't possibly think of being without my TiVo for even one night.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's so frustrating to me that it's sitting in the other room. It's sitting about 20 feet away from me, but I can't do anything with it, and I can't show off any of the cool features. And so today, this is what I get to do. After, you know, later today when I'm done with this, I have to go to Circuit City here in Kennewick, and I'm going to have to try to come up with some cock and bull story to shake down Circuit City for just a remote. Because they don't just sell remotes standalone. You have to order them from TiVo. And I don't want to have to buy a whole TiVo to get the remote, but I also don't want to have to send my mom the remote from Portland, because then I won't be here to show her how to use it, because my mom's kind of fuzzy when it comes to electronics. And so now I have to figure out some way to get Circuit City to just sell me a remote, and I have no idea how I'm going
to
do that.
Maybe you could just get him to loan it to you.
Well, that or, you know, either that or I'm thinking about going in and being enraged and claiming that they sold me a TiVo for my mother, and when I opened the box, there was no remote, and how could you do this to me? And trying to play on their sense of embarrassment and shame. And maybe I'll just slip the guy cash if that doesn't work.
Matt, will you call the manager of the Circuit City store in the Tri-Cities for us, please? Let him know this is coming.
Yeah, that's no problem. I'm sure I can probably work something out for you, Rick.
Okay. Yeah, Matt's people who knows people.
Well, if he isn't careful, Aiden Quinn will involuntarily pick up a local accent wherever he is. He thinks it's because years ago his family moved back and forth so much between his native Chicago and Ireland.
After I've been there for a few months, a lot of people don't even know I'm American. I had to change my voice quite a bit as a kid to fit in when we would move back and forth. And if you have that experience as a child, you know, I think that carries over to the rest of your life, you know. Now, mind you, if I'm in Texas, I'll talk like a Texan after a month or two. So, you know what I'm saying?
Isn't Aiden Quinn like 150?
No, he's a young guy.
Oh, that's Anthony Quinn.
Yeah, Anthony Quinn.
Anthony Quinn is
I have no idea who Aiden Quinn is.
I don't know who he is either. Matt?
Okay.
But he mumbles like crazy, as you notice. So wherever he goes, he learns how to mumble like they do in that thing.
I can't tell you anything he's been in, but I know who he is. I mean, I've seen him in movies, but I just can't.
Yeah, you'd recognize him if you saw him.
Yeah.
That's right. You didn't watch Project Greenlight, did you?
I really didn't.
Because
he's
the star of the movie that they made in Project Greenlight.
All right, and he was being real difficult about it. I know who he is, yeah.
Well, in his latest movie, Evelyn, he plays a real-life character, an Irish guy who moves to the States at the age of 12. He said he had a wonderful time doing the movie in Ireland, hanging out with co-stars like Pierce Brosnan, Julietta Margulies, Stephen Ray, and Alan Bates.
It's very hard for me to be in Ireland and not have a good time, particularly with this cast of characters. I became Julianna's tour guide. She'd never been to Ireland before. Stephen Ray and Alan Bates were like two gossipy old ladies together. They're constantly howling on the set, telling bad stories about other actors and actresses they've worked with.
It's funny, sounds like
he
had a good
just
time.
Just like Stephen right there. He has that same mumble going on.
Yeah, he sounded like he was really excited being in Ireland.
Yeah. We will continue ostensibly after this. We have various things coming up this hour that I'm not privy to. But the KTK Noon News Hour is live. It is Thursday, the 26th, the day after Christmas. I'm Rick Emerson, live from an undisclosed location in Kennewick, and we will continue after this on Hot Talk 1080 KTK.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, I think Rick is still out there.
I am still here.
And I've been sitting in the chair 20 minutes, and I already screwed up the traffic info for it.
Okay, well, I'll just let you practice that then. But I was just coming back down the hallway from using the bathroom. But to go to the bathroom here in my mom's house, you have to walk by the kitchen where there's this kitchen table, of course. It is just piled high with every manner of sugar and fat. And I mean that in the best possible way that you can possibly imagine. And I think I've ingested somewhere in the neighborhood of 740,000. Calories over the last 24, 36 hours or something. It's simultaneously the worst and best time that I've had in about 6 or 7 months. So just the whole, as of right now, at about 12:30 on Thursday, just the sight of food is tremendously off-putting. So,
well, here's something else that's bad. The guy that won the largest Powerball jackpot ever, $314.9 million, he was already a millionaire.
Really?
Yeah, the 55-year-old contractor's name is Andrew Jackson Whitaker, Jr. He opted to take the lump sum of $111 million after taxes. Let's see. A lot of this will go to the Church of God because he wants to thank God for letting him pick the right numbers.
Oh, why do they do this to me? Why would your ass be playing the Powerball if you were already a millionaire?
Yeah. He bought $100 worth in tickets.
What are you asking me for? I'm not a millionaire. I was
clearly
playing the...
you know how those people think. You're of the same mindset, bunch of jackals.
So, well, you know, you can never have enough.
Okay.
Greed, not really a sin.
So here he is talking about his good fortune.
I'm getting really excited because of the good works that I can do with this money. And, you know, my plans are to, for the $17 million, is to set up a fund and have the three pastors help administer it, you know, to do good. And $17 million in the state of West Virginia will really do good for the poor.
So I think I speak for everyone right now when I say we hate that guy.
Yep. So yes. Now they bring his, let's see, his wife's name is Jewel, and I guess they have a couple of kids, too.
Their plans scare me. My biggest problem is going to be keep my granddaughter and daughter from spending all their money in 1 week.
That sounds exactly like George W.
The guy that's first on the list.
I want to build a house that they'll be rich and then get a condo in Cancun. That's my favorite place.
How about you?
I want to go to Israel.
And we're going soon.
Sir, so what do you attribute your good luck? How come you want?
I don't have luck. I'm blessed.
So this morning you heard he had the winning ticket. At the store, he buys gas and a biscuit every morning.
Oh, God. Screw that guy. Yeah. Why is nobody ever honest when they win the Powerball? You see these guys, and it's always these fat, dumpy guys with these thick glasses and the bad comb-over, and they win the Powerball, and none of those guys ever just say, I'm going to buy a big car, and I'm going to, you know, get a penis extension and pick up hot chicks. They never say that. They always just say, no, you know, are you going to go back to your job putting the caps on toothpaste tubes every morning? Yes, I'm going to do that. I think it's good for a man to work. They're never honest about it.
Well, at least this guy's wife wants to. Did you hear what she's saying? I'm going to buy a condo in Cancun. So.
Well, see, at least she's being upfront about things. But it's always these, and without fail, they always pick up some sort of a drug habit, or they end up paying for a relative's drug habit. Like the woman who won when they did the lottery in Washington State when I was growing up, the very first $1 million giveaway here happened when I was about, I don't know, 12 or 13, and we all, as is our wont in Kennewick, we all gathered around the TV, and we all watched the $1 million giveaway, and it went to this woman who was a nurse, and she won $1 million in cash, which ended up being, you know, whatever after taxes, and it was less than a year later that she had a newly acquired heroin habit, had purchased something in the neighborhood of like 7 or 8 cars for relatives, had bought a house, and then it was another year after that that she had lost it all and was living again in the same trailer park she lived in before. So that's how this story always ends.
Well, a Delta pilot and co-pilot had to be removed from a flight they were scheduled to fly this morning out of Norfolk, International Airport, after a breathalyzer indicated the co-pilot had been drinking. Airport manager Tom Scott explains how it was discovered.
One of the TSA screening people at the screening point of passengers and carry-on bags observed what they identified as a alcoholic odor on this particular co-pilot with Delta Airlines.
So then they entered the cockpit of the jet, gave the co-pilot a breathalyzer, and detected alcohol blood content.
They notified the Delta Airlines manager, who in turn contacted headquarters, and in the discussion with everyone, they agreed to put Delta airplane to the headquarters.
Okay, well, apart from the fact that this guy was drinking and going to help fly a plane, here's the other reason this is insane. And, Tim, you might know more specifics about this. There was some story. It was either yesterday or the day before, and I can't come up with the location of it in my head. But it was
Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, where the guy was cited for being disorderly in an airport for a passenger for saying to the pilot, I hope you haven't been drinking. And they cited him for disorderly conduct, when clearly that is a reasonable question to ask, since apparently they're all hitting the bar before they go to fly their Boeing 727.
Yeah, this remark caused Com Air to cancel the 9:30 a.m. flight to Cincinnati, forcing 29 passengers to make other travel plans. 33-year-old Stephen Weiss was accused of leaning into the cockpit and remarking to the pilot, I hope you haven't been drinking.
Yeah, that seems like a fair thing to do. It's like, remember there was a rash last year of all those hospitals amputating the wrong limbs, like some guy going to get his left leg taken off, and instead they'd take off his right arm or something. And they started saying that when you go, when you went into a hospital to get an amputation to on your good limbs, to take a magic marker and write in big letters, don't amputate this. Because they couldn't guarantee that the surgeon wouldn't be drunk and, you know, take off the wrong leg or whatnot. So we're living in strange times.
Yeah, this guy who made the remark could be fined $225, it says here. And the airline refused to allow he and his wife on another flight.
Great.
So the FBI has been brought into this. Then three student employees at the Johnson Space Center in Houston have pled guilty to charges of conspiring to steal moon rocks collected by Apollo astronauts. They're all pleading guilty in federal court to conspiracy to commit theft and interstate transportation of moon rocks.
Is there an actual law against transporting moon rocks?
Yes, there is.
Apparently there is. It's an actual federal crime. Yes.
That's presuming that the rocks are really from the moon.
Well, the group placed an ad on a website, the Mineralogy Club of Belgium, offering to sell priceless moon rocks collected by Apollo astronauts in 1969 and the early 70s for, well, only $1,000 to $5,000 a gram, which is a little speck of dust, I guess.
Well, that's like those guys that, when the Phantom Menace came out, like those guys who stole a master print of the Phantom Menace back in, I guess, 99 or 2000, whatever it was. And then the first thing they do, and this is, you know, there's one of only a handful of master prints that exist. They stole it, and the first thing they did after running out of a theater house in Austin, Texas with it was to put it on eBay with their home address and phone number there. So you can always count on these guys to go on the internet and undo their own plans.
Well, that's what these guys did. If I'm correct, is it that what they posted on the site was exactly, you know, item for item, something that that NASA had, you know, had stolen, right? They had a whole safe full of moon rock stolen, and it had exactly these things, and these guys posted the exact same list. They didn't even split it up.
You know, the bar is so low to be a competent master criminal. Basically, all you have to do is not take out a newspaper ad saying, I did it. Come arrest me.
Let's see what else we have here. Oh, listen to this. The Kwanzaa holiday was created to celebrate African-American family, according to Kwanzaa people. Here's someone to explain the principles of Kwanzaa.
It is based on the principles of a value system called the Nguza Saba, and it is modeled after ancient African agricultural harvest celebrations called first fruits celebrations.
Do you believe that?
No.
I'm not sure I even understood what she said. The what fruit celebration?
Can we repeat that one?
No, no. That's...
I thought it was something about harvesting boots.
I couldn't understand any of it.
Okay. Well,
but anyway, now the Oregon Public Health Service is hoping to add health to that list. The state agency is running a campaign illustrating how the ideas of Kwanzaa can be used to help people stop smoking. As a centerpiece, the agency has printed bookmarks listing the seven principles of Kwanzaa connected to kicking the habit.
That's great. In fact, I think in the other room as we speak right now, my younger brother James is watching a very BET Christmas, which has been all morning in this house. So here we are. We're the whitest family you can possibly imagine in Kennewick, Washington, which is just, I mean, it's just whitewashed. It's so white. And so we've had the, you know, Xmas hits from the street on in the other room all day. So.
And one other note about Kwanzaa. I just caught this today. Did either of you guys know this? That the guy, you know, Kwanzaa was invented by some guy.
In like 61,
right,
yeah.
A black activist guy. Well, according to the story I was reading today, this guy was actually a stooge for the FBI. He was part of some group that the FBI was supporting, some black, you know, radical group that the FBI had infiltrated and was supporting to try to get the goods on the Black Panthers and so on. And so the Kwanzaa is essentially an FBI-created holiday.
That's great.
We have J. Edgar Hoover to thank for Kwanzaa.
Well, and we had the other day, I think we had the text of George Bush's message, and there's nothing funnier than George W. Bush reading a Kwanzaa greeting with a straight face.
Oh, speaking of President Bush, he and his son, former President Bush, and his son Jeb, the Florida governor, plan to embark today on a 3-night holiday cruise with their wives, other relatives, and security agents. They're going aboard the Disney Wonder to show everyone that the food is safe there.
Okay. This is sort of like Bush receiving the smallpox injection to show us that it's not going to give us the flesh-eating virus.
The ship is bound for the Bahamas under blue skies in an unusually chilly wind. Jeb Bush says he was undeterred by the recent outbreak of stomach viruses that have sickened many passengers. I'm not worried at all, he says. I'm more worried about just being on a boat, getting along without email and stuff, he chuckled aloud.
Yeah, but this was Bush the father, so given his tender stomach, if you recall the trip to Japan and the Emperor, I don't know if
when he threw up on the Emperor.
Yeah, I don't know if the cruise line wants him going.
Well, here's a couple of things. A, did you know that with that smallpox vaccination that Bush was having the service guys get, did you see that that's caused that an outbreak of that flesh-eating virus in San Diego?
Yeah.
That there's one Marine has died and 100 others have either been infected or quarantined for fear of infection from the flesh-eating virus. And I think we can all agree that a flesh-eating virus is the niftiest of all viruses. Anytime the word flesh-eating is put on the you know, as a prefix to some sort of a noun, it's interesting. Flesh-eating plant, flesh-eating virus, you know, flesh-eating whatever. Flesh-eating makes things more interesting. Secondly, this. Everybody has been, I've just been flooded with news reports for the last few days about how great it is that Bush is getting the smallpox vaccination as a demonstration. Because, you know, the whole thing is everybody, they think that the smallpox vaccine might be lethal to some folks. And so since he's making the military do it, it's this big show of bravery that Bush is stepping up to get the smallpox vaccination taken. But what no one has pointed out is that it's actually not brave at all for Bush to be getting it because he already knows it's not going to be fatal to him because he's already been vaccinated for it. He was vaccinated for it 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, because all the people... Vaccinated for it?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's why I'm not quite sure of this... All this paranoia about it, though. I mean, when I was a kid, everybody got it. I don't recall all my friends dropping over with flesh-eating viruses or anything.
Well, and that was—and you'd remember that. That's the sort of thing that would.
Yeah, I think I would recall if all of my little friends were.
So when did they stop doing that?
70s.
Yeah, I thought you just had the figure there, 70, 76 or something like that.
76, something like that.
Oh, which means that I had it then.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know that they did it so universally. You know?
Hmm, interesting. All right.
You don't want to remember if you did.
An outbreak of flesh-eating anything, flesh-eating monitor lizards, whatever it is, I vote yes to all things flesh-eating.
A Georgia man ran out of luck on Christmas Eve and he allegedly tried to pass off two losing lottery tickets as one winner. The man glued two scratch-offs together to try to fake a winning ticket and get... a $20 grand prize.
Didn't you guys have that story on the news yesterday?
Yeah, a lot of people weren't listening.
We're
repeating the good stuff.
We're repeating the golden oldies there.
A convenience store manager said the altered holiday game ticket wouldn't scan. They found six other doctored tickets in the man's pocket. He's now facing felony charges of falsifying a Georgia lottery ticket, which carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in jail and a $50,000 fine.
Dope! It's like I was at the convenience store earlier this morning. We were getting some gas, and I was getting some coffee. Does this ever happen to you where you're behind the person buying a bunch of scratch-offs, and it just seems like hours and hours because they're really particular about the type of scratch-off and the amount? I'll take three of the Easy Money, two of the TV Dinner, and five of the Monster Millions. And they're really insistent about what amounts they want all those in.
Well, we'll be right back. I thought you were going to give the cue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
503-250-1080.
The new news hour on Thursday. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KUTK. Back after this.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KUTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, Rick, before we get too much further along here, we need to tell everybody what's coming up at 1 o'clock.
Wait, hold on. Are we back?
We're back.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me flush.
Did we really need to hear
all
that?
All right. Sorry about that.
That's an indication of too much
unaware.
Information.
1 o'clock today. Now, unless I'm incorrect, I believe at 1 o'clock today we have the popular, and we get requests for the show all the time, and it's the Tim Riley Gun Fest.
You are correct, sir.
That is coming at 1 p.m., and basically for those who maybe didn't hear it at the time, because it was, I don't know, it's been quite a while now that it happened, Tim revealed at one point that he had never fired, let alone held, a gun. And so we arranged for Tim Riley, Matthew Peterson, Kim Morgan, and Clyde Lewis, as well as a bevy of busty babes in bikini tops, to go out and fire some heavy artillery. And we have the entire thing on tape, and that's coming up at 1 o'clock today.
Plus, there's lots of battle bots talk in that one, too.
That's right. There's a lot of battle bots talk. And then coming up tomorrow at 1 p.m., we have the deep-fried Twinkie escapade from, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months back that we've also gotten requests for.
I'm so disappointed I didn't get a chance to have one of those.
Oh, don't... No, anything that Clyde eats like four of can't really be all that good. Clyde's sort of a reverse focus group, where if he really likes something, you know that it's probably something your body would just reject.
Let's see what's on TV tonight, shall we? Speaking of food on the Food Channel, tonight's episode of Food Finds features bourbon balls.
Vermin balls?
No, bourbon.
Oh, okay. All right. Who knows?
Vermin balls are a delicacy over there.
Yeah, I'm going to say, that's a big item in the trashing.
Mad Max is on with Mel Gibson tonight.
Sweet.
It's on FX. Kiss Beyond the Makeup on VH1. Also, VH1 presents The 80s Heavy Metal Becomes a Dominant Genre.
Excellent.
What else do we have? E! True Hollywood Story interviews candidly reveal Farrah Fawcett's public and private life. Broadcast News, a classic movie. 1987, William Hurt and Albert Brooks. A reporter, producer, and anchorman form a triangle in a TV news bureau.
Broadcast News is a great film.
Ken Burns' American Stories, The Shakers. Hands to work, hearts to God.
The Shakers, here's an interesting thing about the Shakers. The Shakers, as everybody knows, they were this odd religious group, I think a religious cult by any estimation, and everybody just knows them now because they were woodworkers and woodcrafters, and so authentic Shaker furniture is very, very much sought after and very valuable these days. But the weird thing about Shakers, the reason that they died out is because one of the tenets of the Shaker faith was celibacy, which seems retrospectively to be sort of a miscalculation on their part. Because that's why there's like one, you know, there's like one Shaker guy left, like somewhere in Oklahoma today. They're the only people who left because part of being a Shaker was to be celibate, which seems like a poor choice of values.
Oh,
yeah, dollar in the jar.
Just saying.
Anyway, what else is on tonight? Friends is on.
Oh, well, great! Don't miss that.
Yeah, like we need to see that again. Good Morning Miami. What's that about?
No one knows.
I don't either. And let's see. That's about it for that.
Okay.
Let's talk about entertainment news. And we're talking about Miranda Richardson. Know who she is?
Miranda Richardson is... Yeah, I have it. Now it's gone.
All right, well, she says, some of the young actors in her new movie, The Hours, were real cut-ups. One of the kids even showed up with green hair, she giggled. She said the kid probably went to one of those progressive schools.
Wow, those wacky kids.
Those zany, nutty kids.
All they had to do was to dye their hair back. Richardson told us the young actors in The Hours were very entertaining.
One turned up with his hair green in between, you know. I think he was at one of those progressive schools.
I think he said that.
And so that was like, oh, okay, well, it's a good job you didn't cut it. You know, we'll have to do something about that. We'll have to get the green out before we can get you on set.
You know, the thing about, have you ever noticed the thing with British people, European people, but British people especially, is that every time they comment on anything, it sounds as though they can barely refrain from spitting on you. It's like they can barely hold themselves back from just actually spitting upon you.
Well, Miranda says action should be fun and not tedious.
I always mistrust if I've had a good time on something. I always think, maybe I didn't work hard enough. Ooh. You know, it's like, what was it like playing that really heavy role? Well, actually, it was fun, you know. Oh, dear, maybe that's the wrong answer.
She says sometimes she can seem aloof on the movie set.
I come across as super cool, I think. You know, I just go like a clam. I'm the enigma. It's like nothing. But that doesn't mean it's easy.
What was that?
Was she blowing on something?
I was going to say, what was that woofing that she was doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She was huffing glue for a second.
Nothing.
Prosecutors in Moscow are investigating Harry Potter based on a complaint from a Moscow woman. They're trying to find out whether the Harry Potter books incite religious hatred. The woman who complains believes the second volume of the series contains occult propaganda. Prosecutors say when a complaint is made, they have to investigate after all that. But then they'll determine whether criminal charges have been filed. The producer that has a license to the Harry Potter books in Russia says it's baffled by the investigation. It notes that there have been similar complaints in other countries, but this is the first time law enforcement officials have become involved.
It's good to see that occult propaganda is making a comeback. When I was growing up, when I was a boy in the 80s, everything was about Satan. All rock music, all movies, video games, everything was going to lead you to the dark forces. They didn't worry about drugs when I was growing up. It was just about demons. It was all about everything leading you down into the seventh layer of hell. And that kind of vanished in the 90s. There was no fear of Satan. So it's good to see that it's on the rebound.
Well, speaking of dark forces and demons, we're going to leave you to the dark forces and demons of the Tri-Cities.
No!
But we will hear from you again live tomorrow, right?
Yes, I will be back again tomorrow at noon for another edition of the KOTK Noon News Hour, live from an undisclosed location in Kennewick, Washington. Coming up today, the Tim Riley Gun Fest. Coming up tomorrow, the Deep Fried Twinkie Show. So I guess I will close out the rest of this.